This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
All right. First up, we're kicking off the show with Shark, Barbara Corcoran. Her credits include straight D's in high school and college. She had 20 jobs by the time she turned 23. And then she borrowed $1,000, quit her job as a waitress, and started a tiny real estate company in New York City that is now a $5 billion real estate business. Welcome, Barbara.
Hey, my pleasure to be here. I love Gary. I'll do anything for him.
Barbara, it's great to see you. It's always great to see you. Happy holidays and pending new year. We don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to get right into it because I know a lot of people were excited that you're going to be on the show. So thanks for kicking us off. In your opinion, which consumer behavior shift will be key to driving growth in 2021?
Am I allowed to pick more than one? Because I think there's probably four or five out there. Okay.
Yes, you are.
Number one, the customer is in charge. I think if we didn't understand that before, we certainly understand it now. The behavior that we collaborate with the customer is over with. They're in charge. End of story. So I think the key here as an entrepreneur is you have to stay very close to your customer. Listen hard and see what they need. And I think the first thing they need is they want safety. And that ain't going to go away either. And when I say safety, I think you have to put safety first. Customers demand it, and you don't have to worry about how to pay for it because you can't afford to worry about how to pay for it. You just have to do it. I think social media is the fastest and cheapest way to communicate what the safety measures your particular business has done. And I think the social distancing protocols that we've all recently encountered are here to stay as well. Things like the dots on the floor, I don't expect them to go away next year at this time. Mounted thermometers at restaurant doors, discretionary masks for travel. I think it's all, we're going to just see a softer version of the same old and ain't going to go away. But safety is what people care about now and they will continue.
How long do you, let me jump in on that one. Yeah. You know, okay, so we see a softening, let's say a year from today. Mm-hmm. Do you see a time where we go back to 2019 levels, or do you think this is now stuck in our culture for quite a long time?
It's part of our culture. It's not going to go away. Would you travel in an airplane, whether you're traveling business class or coach, and not wear a mask? I wouldn't. Never again. I mean, I kind of wanted to do that when people were coughing next to me, but I thought it was socially rude. Nope, I'm going on the airplane with the mask forevermore. I don't want to catch what's going around. No, nothing's going to go away totally. We'll have a residual that will become part of our culture. Definitely.
Understood. Keep going.
Okay. Online shopping is king. I mean, I almost feel embarrassed to say that everybody knows that. Okay.
Yeah.
But I think part and parcel of that is you need to go to where the customer is. I have one business named Cousins Maine Lobster, a large franchise of lobster trucks.
Yes. I like those guys.
Yeah. Those guys. I think you interviewed
Sam. Yeah.
Yeah. Smart entrepreneur.
Smart.
But the moment COVID hit, that guy had pivot. I hate the word pivot, but I'll have to use it because I don't know what's the substitute. He turned his business around. There's a new substitute I can use. Contactless pickup, communicating where his trucks are going to be. And he moved his trucks out of the normal places that were crowded. And he utilized every single large shopping mall parking lot, gave people numbers. They waited in line, picked up. They went home with their dinner out. And his increase in sales went through the roof within a month and a half. Pretty sharp, but he understood he needed to go to where the customer was comfortable being. I also have a business that's my most successful business named Comfy. And what it is a wearable sweatshirt. And what they did is they had $150 million in sales in big box stores that were sent back to them when COVID hit because the big box stores they were merchandising to had closed. What were they going to do? They increased their sales online, turned up a website that they hadn't taken seriously as before, and they turned $150 million in sales into $250 million in sales. They went to where the customer wanted to be. That's exactly what they did. And then also, again, obvious, so I hesitate to say it, social media is the name of the game. I mean, I don't invest in a single business in this season on Shark Tank unless I felt that the entrepreneur was almost a borderline genius on social media, because I know we're going to have to rely on the social media platforms forevermore because we have spoiled our customers with us and they want it. In social media, I think key traits or key entrepreneurs or, pardon me, key employees that all of us need as entrepreneurs are now the producers, the storytellers, the videographers. It's really become the new norm. There used to be extra people. It was nice, a luxury feature if you want, but with social media being the name of the game, it's not the case anymore.
And Barbara, real quick on that, I'm trying to interrupt. when you were building your real estate empire, so much of it to do with branding, was direct mail a very strong pillar for you in the prime of your growth?
Yes, it was, but everyone used direct mail, but the way I was able to become extremely successful with it is I used postcards because I watched people at home, including myself, and I didn't open junk mail,
but right.
A postcard I was forced to read. That's what we used, yes.
So you paid higher to be your individual postcard versus maybe in a value pack, and you feel like even though you were paying more to get into a mailbox, you were getting seen more often, and that gave you a leg up.
It gave me a leg up, but honestly, I never considered value packs because I'm too selfish. I want my own stage wherever mm-hmm. I am, and I got it on a postcard. What was more effective than the postcard campaigns I constantly ran was buying billboards 10 cents on the dollar. A lot of mm-hmm. people
don't remnant inventory, right?
Inventory.
Yeah, I did the same thing for Wine Library.
Over New York, and that put my brand mm-hmm. front line and center. Billboards were the king. And then also what a lot of people didn't know then that I took full advantage of is I bought remnant space in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal mm-hmm. previously saved for retailers. But when I checked into their rules, retail was not the rule. It was just ShopRite and everybody was using. And I started putting full page advertising for all my properties that looked at a billion when I really had 10 cents on the dollar on that as well.
It's funny. I really think your career and knowing it being an East Coast guy, you know, a lot of people think about me with social media, but I got my chops in direct mail, print, outdoor, radio, because I was advertising as like a kid for my dad's store. And I think the reason social was so natural to me was all the things I learned between distribution, underpriced. You just basically talked about underpriced attention. Uh-huh. You would buy more strategically around places that people would look. You took advantage of the remnant cost I did the same exact stuff on print and outdoor and direct. You couldn't really do it the same way on direct mail. But the other thing I learned during that era, because I was doing so much of it, was the creative was the variable. Even though I was buying the full page New York Times ad in the dining section at a really good price because I knew when to buy it and how, yes. My ad mattered to how many people I would get. And I think that is a lot of people watching right now are like, but social's not working for me. And I'm like, the creative is the variable.
Mm. And the creative also must have the key ingredient. I'm sure you'd agree with me. It has to be authentic. People see through the bullshit anymore. You know, if your story's not authentic, if you don't connect with them on some basis, I've even gotten rid of makeup in most of my postings. I find that people respond better to me looking ugly than all dolled up. Authentic is key. And I don't think that's going to change either, of course.
I agree with you. You got one parting shot. We got a minute. I know these are going quick.
Okay. So one more thing.
Please.
You need to be an entrepreneur that thrives on change. I mean, if you don't welcome change and look for it, seek it out like a missile, like what's next? What's next? Like a kid with a curiosity box, right? You're not going to be ready for the changes out there. I mean, change for me, and I don't think I'm imagining is happening probably twice the rate it would 4 years ago. And if you're not aware that today is the single best opportunity you're ever going to see again for the next 10 years of taking over your competitor's marketplace, his beat, because you can outperform, outcreate, outdo whatever you have to do to get rid of that guy. This is the time to do it. The best time to move ahead is always in the worst times. Any smart entrepreneur will tell you they moved ahead in the worst times because the big guys are asleep at the wheel.
They get tight. They get tough. Most people go on defense. That's exactly the time to go. Yeah. Barbara, it's great to see you.
Okay, my pleasure.
Thank you so much for this 10 minutes, really.
Thank you very much.
All right, episode's over. Please leave a review and subscribe up on Apple. It would mean a lot to me. Thank you very much.
Hey, podcast. Joe from Team Gary here. Today's highlighted review is I Love the Gems of Insight for Young Kids by Brandon. LL Cool J's interview/chat was amazing and brought a lot of insight and patience in keeping up with the faith. Love this along with the New Year's mashup. Thanks to Brendan. Keep those reviews coming. We could highlight yours next.